And Brandon, what's your next track?
The next one would be La Bamba by Los Lobos.
All right, La Bamba by Los Lobos. La Bamba by Richie Valens was the original, and this is the version that they did in the movie.
Right.
What's your memory? What's your connection with this track?
So I went with the movie version for a reason. I went and saw the movie in theaters when it came out, 1987, I guess it would have been. So I would have been six. I don't know if everyone's seen the movie, but can you imagine going to see a movie like this when you're 6 years old?
No, I can't.
So it irrevocably changed my life. So I cannot. I haven't set foot on an airplane before because of this movie, and I've been very obsessed with The Day the Music Died because of this movie. So it became a very life altering moment when I went and saw this movie. So now when I hear the song, I remember going and being 6 years old and remembering my mother crying and walking down the street afterwards and her telling me about, you know, death and me saying that I would never fly ever. It's another one of those songs that it instantly pulls into a memory for me. And, like, you know, it's something that's been a lifelong connection. I've been to the crash site. Every year I celebrate on February 3rd and listen to their records and all that kind of stuff. It was a huge life altering moment for me.
But you never, have you ever flown since then? Like,
nope.
as a teenager, nothing. You've never gone on a plane since then?
Nope.
Good Lord, man.
I know.
And that really must play on a lot of how you conduct yourself for your entire life, just based on that one song and that story.
Yeah, it gave me a little bit of anxiety, you know, that I carry with me for the rest of my life.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's play the Richie Valens tune, La Bamba, but done by Los Lobos, here on the 3 for 30.
Yo no soy marinero, yo no soy marinero.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for taking the time to do this with us today.
Thank you.
Your last track for the 3 for 30, what is it?
It's Waltz Number 2 by Elliott Smith.
And why this track? What's a significant memory for you?
So the day he died, I woke up for work. It was early in the morning. I was working at KFC at the time. And I don't know, I guess I was reading the ticker along the bottom of Much More Music. Do you remember Much More Music?
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah.
And it had the news ticker along the bottom, and it said singer Elliott Smith dead. I think he was 34 or something. And I like, shot out of bed, and I was like, what? And I'd gotten into him a couple years beforehand because of the Royal Tenenbaums. And I was a pretty big fan, and when he died, it was very very much like when, you know, for me anyway, because I remembered it a lot clearer. But it was much a lot like Kurt Cobain, you know, like this suicide, this like huge influential musician in my life. And so I went to work that day, and I brought my my copy of XO, which is the record it came off of, and I put it on the CD player in the kitchen, and I got to Waltz Number 2, which was probably my favorite song on that record. And something about the line, I'm never going to know you now, but I'm going to love you anyhow, which is the refrain in the song, just made me super sad. Like, I just cried into the Colonel's secret recipe for probably 4.5 hours and just listened to that song on repeat. It was super sad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's funny because, you know, because I got the song in my head, and I'm kind of connected with the whole thing, you know, that moment when you do follow someone's career and you identify with the lyrics at a certain point in your life, that is quite the heavy finding out that they passed away.
Oh, I connect like really big with the musicians in my life. You know, I know them through their words. It's a very personal experience for me. So like, yeah. People always wonder why I get so bent out of shape when my favorite musicians die. So
well, yeah, because it's someone that you can relate to. I mean, it, with their lyrics and what they go through, you identify. I mean, you have similar experiences, and there's someone else out there that has gone through or that has went through what you're going through right now, right?
So, exactly.
And it just elevates your empathy towards them and other people when they're suffering through the same thing.
Exactly. That's how it felt for me, and it felt like, you know, I was... When was that, 2003? I don't know how old I was. I'm bad at math right now. But you know, I was old enough to know that I was going through some stuff, and he was right. Going through similar things, and then, you know, it didn't work out for him. It felt kind of helpless in that moment, too.
But it helped you identify with you what you were going through.
Yeah, it did. It did. It made me realize not to, you know, be like that, I guess.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do this with us, and we're going to play the track right now.
Done, and they're calling someone. sister, I'm never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you anyhow.
Stand above me. just looking, and I'm just saying hi. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm trying to have one interaction at work that makes me feel like a human being. I have feelings, too. I'm a Pisces.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Welcome on the line right now, Joe Bocek from the Royal Seas. They'll be performing February 29th. It's their self-titled album release party at the Casbah. And also on the bill will be the Frantic Lullabies and the Pistolas. Joe, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, thanks for calling me there, Jamie.
Yeah. Tell me about the inception of the Royal Seas band. Now, from what I understand, you guys started back in like 2014, and you had a couple of indie releases before that, and you've been playing around doing the Southern Ontario tour of like everywhere from This Ain't Hollywood to Say What, and Lee's Palace in Toronto. What's the skinny on this new album that you're having that's coming out this weekend?
This new album is actually our first try at all of us writing collectively. It's almost like a Beatles situation, and I'm not comparing us to the Beatles, but everyone seems to have their own song and has brought it in, and then the rest of the guys in the band fulfill that song for that person.
Right.
Kind of like the Sloan model. Same idea.
Okay. Hey, but so having said that, you said this is the first album where everyone's contributing to songwriting. Were you the primary songwriter to begin with?
Yeah, actually, Royal Seas came out of a solo project of mine back in 2009,
yeah,
where I decided I was going to write a roots rock album that sounded like Counting Crows and Tom Petty.
Right.
Which, as you've probably heard, we sound nothing like that. And what ended up happening was 3 years after I laid all the bed tracks down, I wiped everything out to the drums and decided I can't fake this. I'm not a roots rock guy. I'm going to just wear my influences on my sleeve, Simple Minds, Psychedelic Furs, everyone I loved when I was a kid. And I just ran around the studio, finished the album, playing almost every instrument on it. And I had some help from a good friend named Lee Lytle, who's no longer in the band. He moved away.
Right.
And we ended up writing some great stuff together. And, you know, to be honest, Royal Seas started with the goal just to release an album. And I had never sang in front of people in my life before. And
wow.
Our goal was to...
That's like that. That to me, that sounds like arduous taking on your own part to play every single thing and to put yourself out there.
Yeah, it was. It took me a while, and I mean, I'm no spring chicken. I'm in my 40s now, so I was late 30s when I did that, and I was other people's drummer and keyboard player for decades, but I just never, you know, had the willpower to go out there and do it on my own. And, you know, our goal with Royal Seas was just to do one open mic so I could say I sung in front of people, and then I would just quit music forever and get sucked into life. And here we are, you know, 6 years later.
6 years later. But now that you have with this third album, there must be a great, like, there's two ways of looking at it. Like, you just said that you had to, like, move out to be the front person and have that solo spotlight. You did it, but it must be a great feeling having everyone contribute to the Royal Seas now as far as songwriting goes, because it feels like you're more of a team, that you have someone, people behind you supporting you when you're up doing up front.
Yeah, that's exactly true for what's happened with us. By the time that first album came out, I put a band together of just basically like hired gun type players. And we did a couple gigs at the Casbah here and there. We ended up at Lee's Palace. And next thing I know, on the second album, we had a bit of a lineup change. And then a couple people were co-writing with me, you know, oh, we'll throw in a riff here, throw in a bass line here. And I was still at that point very control freakish, doing the Dave Grohl thing, still, you know, kind of correcting everybody. But, you know, by the time we got to this third album, I just let it go. And I learned something, that we sound better when it's a collective and absolute, you know, collection of everybody's ideas and nobody is, you know, vetoing anything.
How was the recording process on this last album, or the latest album, I should say?
On the latest album, it was very piecemeal, just done one thing at a time. I produced it. recorded it, mixed it, and mastered it in my own studio. And, you know, we just, I don't think we were ever in the room at the same time, but we all got it done.
There you go. So you're performing February 29th with Frantic Lullabies and the Pistolas. How do you know these other bands?
Pistolas is actually an old high school sweetheart of mine, and I say that because it's actually a band I used to play drums in, and we just reunited. It's just a little fun side project for me, and it's where I get to rock out on the drums, which has always been a fun thing, so right. We get a chance to do that. And Frantic Lullabies, these guys are amazing. I mean, we're their biggest fans, and we played a zillion shows with them, and they're just amazing, an amazing mix of jazz, rock, and just, you know, like everything they do is just great. Okay.
Us out down at the Casbah on February 29th with Frantic Lullabies and Pistolas, and Will Gillespie will be emceeing the night.
get into the crowd. I see you right there looking at me. Whoa, whoa. Feeling never down. Feeling all around.
listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Okay, you're listening to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunner, here. This hour of music is dedicated to Hamilton artist Lindy. Lindy Vopingfjord, I think that's how you say Lindy's name. Very cool guy, great lyrics, great music. Check out his website, lindymusic.com, for more information. And to buy his music or go over to Bandcamp and buy some music. This whole show is about just me shamefully plugging musicians to help support them because they can't gig right now. So, yeah, Lindy Music. I've taken a couple tracks from two albums. We'll hear some stuff from You Will Know When It's Right. But his most recent one, released back in this May, State of Heart. Here's Lindy on Steel City Music.
I follow the rules, kept up with the trends. I've been a fool, I nearly left me for dead. Soon I became bound by the borders on a worn out track. I followed orders, then right out of the blue, I fell for you. You opened my eyes to the truth. I'm already over my head. It all seems suspicious. At least that's what she said. I'm already over my head. Carefully, you care for me. I'm already over my head. I stayed there too long. On that broken down track, one step forward, two steps back. And over my shoulder, where the weight always lands, never seems to be a reason I can understand. But when the answers arrive, I can tell right away, they've been waiting there all of my life. I'm already over. At least that's what she said. I'm already over my head. Carefully, you care for me. I'm already over my head. Some days I'm grateful, some days I'm not. I stay up all night thinking a lot about the things I can't change and where I went wrong, beating myself up but trying to get along. And when our day ends and our love transcends, I no longer have to pretend.
Cheddar and barbecue wavy and sour cream and onion equals a three-layer dip stack.
Cheddar and barbecue wavy and sour cream and onion equals a three-layer dip stack.
Stack Pringles flavors. Make new ones.
How much do you think Pringles paid these people?
Hardly anything.
Hey, you guys want to stack different Pringles flavors to create new flavor combos? Here, I'll go first. Pizza, barbecue, and jalapeno. The spicy barbecue pizza stack.
Get him!
Grandpa, what's going on?
Pringles. We're trapped in a Pringles commercial. They must have taken us in our sleep.
How can we get out?
We can't, Summer. They warned me this would happen, and I didn't listen.